Tonight we'll have a chance to meet candidates from races. We're looking at races that touch Ouachita Parish or are part of Ouachita Parish. Last Thursday we met the Senate candidates. Tonight we're going to have a chance to meet the folks that are running for House here in our area. Our candidates for District 15 are seated at our table. At this time we'll bring up our candidates and let them have a chance for a 2-minute opening statement. First this evening, we're going to meet the candidates for District 15. The candidates for District 15 are Foy Gadberry, a Republican, Drake Graves, Republican, Ryan Reed, Republican, and Justin Tidwell, Republican. They're all with us this evening, and we've randomly selected Ryan Reed as the first up this evening. Ryan, you have a chance to come to the podium now, make a 2-minute opening statement, and thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you all for having me this evening. I am what's left of Ryan Reed. As you can see, there's a lot left. Somebody told me that they don't think I'm the hardest working man in politics. I said, you have no idea what this is doing to my knees. I am from Vivian, Louisiana, little bitty fly speck of a town northwest of Shreveport. Really great place. Grew up hunting, fishing, just enjoying the outdoors there. Grew up on a lot of great family values that my father and my mother instilled in us as kids. I'm a teacher by trade. Public school, teach over at West Monroe High School. Been there now about 10 years. Love teaching there. It's one of my favorite things to absolutely do, to get up in the morning and know that I get to go make a difference in the lives of kids. But the reason I'm running actually deals with my students. You see, the hardest night for me of any night of the year happens to be in May on graduation night. When you see those young people walk across that stage, they've gone from having no business acumen whatsoever to going through my business classes to try to improve themselves, to be to where they can take part in what we're doing here as a state. And we're not living up to our end of the bargain, because when they cross that stage, they expect a diploma and a job to be waiting on the other side. Here in Louisiana, that's just not the case because of our overtaxation, our overregulation of companies, and if they stick around long enough, we're going to sue them. It's the policy of this state to act sometimes as poison to industry and business, and it puts our young people at a disadvantage to where they need to leave the state in order to find work. Some of them talk to me all the time about what they're going to have to do to leave out of here to hopefully find some place to make their own, whether it's through the military, whether it's through an out-of-state job. They don't want to leave. I want them to stay here. I want them to appreciate what I grew up loving in Vivian, Louisiana, and all of this state of Louisiana. I want my kids to have that, too. And that's why I'm running for House of Representatives for District 15. Thank you.
That was Ryan Reed joining us for District 15. At this time, let's welcome to the podium Justin Tidwell.
Thank you. It is actually a great honor for me to stand here today. I had no idea I would be anywhere near politics. This is actually where it all begun for me. Probably 15 to 20 years ago, I was downstairs or maybe on the same floor cramming for a test for x-ray technology. And you probably could have walked around and seen me, although you probably wouldn't recognize me because I would probably have had more hair back then. Definitely would have had more hair back then. But this is a great school, great program, and I appreciate the opportunity. I really feel honored to stand here right now and present as a candidate for State Representative District 15. And how about those Warhawks, right? I want to talk about the water ski team for just a second, because we hear the football team all the time. I mean, we football or baseball, but the water ski team, 29 championships, I believe, that, if I'm not mistaken on it. That's incredible, and it's a good testimony to a great program that this school has here, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Just a little bit about my past. I grew up here, West Monroe. My dad worked at the paper mill. He started working there when he was 18 years old, retired from the paper mill just a few years ago. My mother's a school teacher. She taught me at Living Way Academy. And and we transferred over to Claiborne Christian School later, where I graduated high school from. But other than that, you know, I'm a hard worker. I love people. I got a healthcare background, and I want to work for you. I want to make some changes. So I look forward to the rest of this symposium that we're having.
Thank you. That was Ryan Reed. Next up to the podium, Drake Graves. Mr. Graves, you have 2 minutes for an opening statement.
Thank you all so much for having me here today. What an honor it is to be back in my alma mater tonight and be able to speak to all of you. So I'm a lifelong resident of District 15, born and raised in an entrepreneurial family, graduated from West Washtenaw High School a year early, where I came to ULM and furthered my education in political science, communications, and criminal justice. Made it out of here a year early with honors, so that was a great experience here, and I'm glad to be here with you tonight. So growing up in an entrepreneurial family, I've seen the struggles that face small businesses, whether it be in insurance, whether it be in regulation and things like that. So I really want to focus on the business needs. And like I said, we have multiple businesses, one of those being in healthcare. So I know the needs of small healthcare and rural healthcare facilities and some of the red tape that goes into that, as well as me working in financial advising and insurance. I have a pretty lengthy background there. So I'm one of the broadest reach candidates here running in this race, and I believe that, you know, with new perspectives and new ideas coming forward in our legislature, we'll be able to accomplish more and working across partisan lines and being able to come up with a collective agreement, you know, that utilizes technology to be the most efficient that we can here in our government. So I look forward to the rest of our forum. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Drake Graves. Dr. Bruno just pointed out I just screwed up, which that's my one for tonight. The guy you just heard before that was Justin Tidwell. I got my card out of order here. Next up, we're going to hear from Mr. Foy Gadberry. You have 2 minutes to make an opening statement, sir.
Good evening. I'm Foy Gadberry. I want to thank KEDM, ULM, and the Chambers for holding this forum so that we can all give you our views. To give you a little bit of my background, I graduated from Louisiana Tech in architecture and in civil engineering. I've been a consulting engineer here in Washtenaw Parish for the past 38 years. I'm a registered engineer in 12 states, a licensed surveyor in this state, and a building code official, where I have 7 parishes that I cover with building codes. Being in the engineering business, we encouraged our engineers to become involved in the community. I've been involved with several community boards, including the Boys and Girls Club, the West Monroe Civitan Club, and both Chambers of Commerce, to name a few. I've been giving back to this community over the years as they've been supportive to my engineering practice. I established a new company called Inspections Unlimited, which is a building code inspection company, in 2006. In 2008, I was appointed to the Louisiana State Uniform Construction Code Council to serve on that for 4 years down in Baton Rouge. Through that council was formed due to the hurricanes Katrina and Rita that hit this state, and they adopted the codes. They present them to the legislature, to the oversight committee, to formally pass those. I've testified on several occasions in front of the Commerce Committee on bills, and also on code bills with that committee. I had the opportunity this past spring to sell my inspection company, and which will allow me to...
Mr. Gadberry, your time is up.
...being effective.
Thank you. That's Mr. Foy Gadberry, and we'll hear more from our candidates coming up in just a second. I want to say that tonight's forum is not possible without the ULM Student Government Association. And for our folks who are with us tonight and our folks listening via radio tonight. We want to bring up Olivia Bailey. She's the president of the ULMSGA. She's going to tell us a little bit about Election Day and how to get involved.
Hi, everyone. Like you said, my name is Olivia Bailey, and I'm the Student Government Association president here. I just want to thank you all for coming and supporting these candidates. Election Day is on October 2nd, and the polls open at 6 a.m. and close at 8 p.m.
Olivia, October 12th.
Oh, sorry. October 2nd is my birthday. And close at 8 p.m. The race includes the governor, attorney general, secretary of state, state executive offices, state senate, state house, supreme court, appellate courts, state ballot, local measures, and municipal elections. And you can find out more by downloading the GoVote app or visiting voterportal.sos.la.gov. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, that's October 12th, Election Day coming up. All right, gentlemen, we'll get to the questions this evening. And we'll begin with Mr. Gadberry. You'll have 1 minute for your responses, for your answers. The folks here on the front row are going to be doing our times for us. If you hear the bell, you're out of time. All right, so we'll begin with the first question I have for you. Louisiana currently has a $14 billion safety and maintenance backlog on state road projects and billions of dollars of new mega projects ready to go, but we don't have money. Many states have ventured into public-private partnerships, toll roads, toll bridges, for many of their projects. Would you support toll roads throughout North Louisiana? Mr. Gadberry, you're first.
I don't think toll roads are applicable in North Louisiana yet, so I don't really support them in this part of the state. We don't have the traffic that South Louisiana would have or other states would have for toll roads in this area.
Thank you. That was Foy Gadberry. The question goes to you, Mr. Graves, Drake Graves. Louisiana has a $14 billion safety and maintenance backlog on state road projects and billions of dollars of new mega projects on the books. Many states have ventured into private toll roads and bridges. Would you support toll roads, toll bridges in North Louisiana?
Here in North Louisiana, I just don't think it's sustainable to have those public toll roads and bridges. However, you know, if we reform the gas tax like I proposed, then we'll be able to have more money here locally and be able to use that to fix our roads and bridges.
Thank you, Mr. Graves. Justin Tidwell, the question goes to you. Toll roads, toll bridges in North Louisiana.
Well, I've been to a lot of states that have toll roads and toll bridges, and it seems that they have great roads in those states. I'm not sure they would work appropriately for Louisiana, but I'm not the expert on that. I would be willing to sit down and discuss with the experts and see what their opinion would be on it.
Thank you. And the question next goes to Ryan Reed. Toll roads, toll bridges here in North Louisiana.
I'm open to it in certain selections of the state where you have high traffic, where people have an option to either go faster through a toll area or to not. That way that the choice is up to them as to whether to pay to help offset the cost of some of these. Really, though, the heart of the matter is kind of missed here in the question, and that is that we're overtaxed as a state to begin with to drive out those businesses, which would bring in the tax revenue needed to pay for many of these projects in the first place. It falls, again, here to the taxpayers as a question is whether or not we're going to have to pay a toll instead of to the government as to what are we going to do to try to bring in more opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. The question will go to Mr. Graves first this time. Would you support a state constitutional convention in Louisiana? And what would your priorities be if there were one?
You know, there's been a lot of talk this past year in trying to push for the constitutional convention or a limited constitutional convention. And I've had the privilege to go down to Baton Rouge and speak with legislators on that matter. The biggest thing with that is going to be with the MFP and making sure, you know, that those dedicated funds stay where they need to be in certain areas. And that we go back to zero-based budgeting in order to make sure that higher education funds don't fluctuate the way they do, so that way we have sustainable funds for higher education.
Thank you. Mr. Tidwell, the question goes to you. Would you support a constitutional convention in Louisiana? And if so, what would your priorities be?
Well, it's kind of the same answer as my last answer. I don't believe anybody at the table is an expert on these subjects. I think in most of these cases, we're going to have a group discussion, sit down, and have the experts teach us the appropriate response to this. And if the experts say it's best for Louisiana, I'd be on board with the experts.
Thank you. The question next goes to Ryan Reed. Mr. Reed, would you support a state constitutional convention? And if so, what would your priorities be?
I would on a limited basis. Priorities that I would want to look at is kind of actually a little bit opposite of what Drake mentioned as far as releasing actually some of this dedicated funds. I think that basically we've got a system in Louisiana based on Keynesian economics in a lot of ways that doesn't seem to kind of gel with what we're doing on a free market economy. To really make us grow and prosper as a state and increase our GDP, we're going to have to get a bit more creative with what we're willing to do with our money. I'm not against leaving some of those dedicated funds where they need to be, but that is kind of a discussion that we need to have as to what is allowable to let go, what do we need to stick with.
Thank you. Mr. Gadberry, State Constitutional Convention, would you support one? And if so, what would your priorities be?
Yes, I would support a limited constitutional convention to look at some of our constitutional amendments. I feel like some of them are outdated and can be eliminated. Some of them can be revised to still be applicable funding-wise. We've got to be able to increase our education dollars, and as it is right now, without opening up a constitutional convention, we're not going to be able to get any more dollars for education.
Thank you. That was Foy Gadberry. All right, the next question will go to Mr. Justin Tidwell first. Mr. Tidwell, Dr. Bruno's sitting on the front row. He's watching intently here. Higher education has been cut by $800 million since 2009, shifting the burden of funding universities from the state to student tuition increases. What's your view on university budgets, and what would your priorities be if elected?
That's a good question. I'm against extra taxes on the individuals. I believe that individuals are taxed too much as it is. I think we can find other ways to raise money and budgets. Mr. Bruno has done an excellent job with this university. Whenever I started in 99, it was and terrible compared to how it is now. These are some of these questions that, I mean, reality, we have to have a sit-down discussion. I mean, nobody's going to be an expert on any of this. There are different ways to raise funding, and, of course, there are different avenues to getting it, whether you take loans or you come out of pocket yourself. But I wouldn't want to see an extra burden on the cost of the student. But because they're already paying too much as it is.
Thank you, Mr. Tidwell. The question next goes to Ryan Reed. Sir, higher education's been cut by $800 million since 2009, shifting the burden of funding universities to student tuition increases. What's your view on university budgets and your priorities if you get elected?
I think that as a state, we have to really knuckle down on education. I'm an educator, like I said. I've got better than 13 and a half years experience working both here and abroad in education. The thing that I'm seeing is that when you look at the education system as far as universities are concerned, we've made some promises to the young people of this state. We better darn well keep them if we intend to keep going like we are. One of those is TOPS. TOPS is a way to fund these kids to be able to go to universities without putting an additional burden on the university itself or on kids who may end up being from a low-income household. This is something where, when we're talking about scaling back TOPS, when we're talking about things of that nature, I don't see that. What I see instead is a need to be more creative with degree programs to where it opens up the floodgates to more of trade, to more of degree programs that allows them to learn skills that can be taken out directly into the job world, not necessarily what you traditionally consider within a university.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. The question next goes to Foy Gadberry. Mr. Gadberry, higher education's been cut by $800 million since 2009, shifting the burden of funding the university from the state to student tuition increases. What's your view on the university's budgets and your priorities if elected?
Well, first of all, I'd like to stabilize those budgets and not cut them anymore, and then find other avenues in the budget to increase those funding dollars. with my business practices, improving practices in business, I think I can look at the budget and analyze the budget and try and get some more dollars for higher education.
Thank you, Mr. Gadberry. The question next goes to Drake Graves. Mr. Graves, higher ed cut by $800 million since 2009, shifting the burden to student tuition increases. What's your view on the university's budget and your priority if you get elected?
Well, the biggest thing with that, like I said earlier, is going back towards a zero-based budget, that way that we can make sure that those universities have steady funds in order to prevent that shift of costs going forward to the students. We need to make sure that those funds are steady, that way that it's not a year-to-year raise for the students. And we also need to look at the return on investment for certain programs in order for them to be sustainable here within our economy.
Thank you, Mr. Graves. And here's the spot where I lost my place. Who's up first for this one? I believe it's, is it Mr. Reed? Okay, Mr. Reed, should recipients of state aid undergo drug tests to receive welfare, housing aid, food stamps, things like that?
I'm not necessarily against that, actually. You know, if someone is having difficulty making ends meet, we need to look at what is going on, how can we help them. I'm a big believer in personal charity. I don't necessarily believe that it's something that, though on a state level, that it is the government's responsibility. But when somebody does have a need that cannot be met by private charity, that cannot be met within their community, yes, by all means, let the state step in and let's see how we can help them. But if you're going to be using the funding that you're getting to offset a drug habit, to offset things that you're doing that really are, A, illegal, and, B, wasteful of the taxpayer dollars, I think that people ought to be held accountable for that waste of taxpayers' funds, just as if I were to loan you some money and not be able to get it back because you've spent it on something you shouldn't have done. Not that I think you would. You seem like a nice guy.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. Mr. Gadberry, it goes to you next. Should recipients of state aid undergo drug tests, welfare, housing, food stamps, things like that?
I think so. In business, the hardest thing in business today, everyone I hear from says, I need workers, but everyone that comes and applies for a job can't pass a drug test. So we need to have drug testing in order for people to get aid from the state.
Thank you, Mr. Gadberry. The question next goes to Drake Graves. Mr. Graves, should recipients of state aid undergo drug tests? Well, for welfare, housing aid, food stamps, things like that.
I absolutely think that they should go through that drug testing in order to make sure that, you know, they are not abusing the system. Right now, we have enabled so many people to take advantage of the Medicaid system and other systems that we have in place here in Louisiana that, you know, we're not being proactive and we're not making sure that the people that need the help are getting it. And the same way with mental health and other areas of our state.
Thank you. And the question now goes to Justin Tidwell. Sir, should recipients of state aid undergo drug tests for things like welfare, housing aid, and food stamps?
Well, I actually believe that there should be a comprehensive reform on welfare in general, and that should probably be a small portion of it. I believe that drug addiction is probably the number one problem that we have in our district, in our area, and probably 90% of the people in this room or people listen have know someone or has a close family member that's dealt with drug addiction. So, yes, I think that is something that we need to look into, but there's a whole another realm, a whole comprehensive plan that could go along with that as well.
Gentlemen, we have just a couple of more questions for you. I want to remind the folks that are listening to us tonight via radio right now that we're live at the University of Louisiana Monroe. This is our second of three Meet the Candidate forums, and tonight we're hearing from the folks that are running for Louisiana House District 15. Mr. Gadberry, I believe you're up first for this one. And this is a good question because the four of you gentlemen, I believe, are all Republicans. Is that right? So sometimes it seems like there's gridlock in Baton Rouge. What issues do you think Republicans and Democrats can get together and work on and accomplish?
I think they can work. I can work with Democrats or Republicans on any issue. In my business, I work with people that have a variety of experience and a variety of attitudes, and I have to deal with them every day and compromise with them. So I think I can work with any Republican, Independent, or Democrat in Baton Rouge.
Thank you. Mr. Graves, sometimes it seems like there's gridlock in Baton Rouge. What issues can Republicans and Democrats work on together to accomplish?
You know, whenever I started out this campaign, it's been so much back and forth between Republicans and Democrats within our legislature. So I set out on this goal that I was going to cohesively form a plan with my campaign to work across partisan lines from the get-go. So I've had Republicans on the campaign, Democrats, Independents, and the biggest aspect of that is that they all have different perspectives. And in order for you to understand a problem completely and be able to find a solution to that problem is you have to see it from different angles. And I believe that I'd be able to work across partisan lines and get that done.
Thank you. The question next goes to Mr. Justin Tidwell. Sometimes it seems like there's some gridlock in Baton Rouge. What issues can Republicans and Democrats work together on?
I absolutely don't have any problem working across the line with Democrats or Republicans. I think that has been a tragedy in the past that we've taken sides on issues that affect Louisiana, affect jobs, affect people's lives. I would personally be willing to work on anything other than I would not compromise my Christian values. Other than that, as long as it's good for Louisiana, I will work across lines with doesn't matter who it is.
You know. Thank you, Mr. Tidwell. Mr. Ryan Reed, it goes to you next. Sometimes there's some gridlock in Baton Rouge. What can Republicans and Democrats work together and accomplish?
Sometimes I think Republicans have amazing ideas. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes Democrats have amazing ideas. Sometimes they don't. We have to be willing to listen to both sides on this. But regardless of the letter that's after our names, regardless of who it is that we're talking with, I think if we're going to be honest with ourselves, that everyone can just simply look at the statistics and see what we need to work on together. Things like 2 years ago, Louisiana had the 50th worst GDP, number 50 out of the entire nation. We climbed up 44, and we go around bragging like it's something. We have to do something better for the state, and that's something that anybody, Democrat, Republican, Independent, I don't care. Everybody should be able to see. Change is needed. We have to do something different, and if the strategies that we've had in the past are not going to do it, we have to do something looking forward to a different way for our future.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. A question that I have is about your priorities. What I want to know is, if you get elected, what are your three top priorities, and first it goes to Mr. Drake Graves.
So, you know, working in insurance and the financial services industry, I've seen the need for pension reform, and in addition to that, I've seen the need for our tort reform here in our state because it is hindering businesses and the opportunity that could be here within Louisiana. So one of the biggest things is working on that tort reform and the tax struggles for our small businesses. In addition to that, I'd love to work on health care to try to make sure that more rural health care is available by granting practitioners, you know, the ability to have the collaborative agreement taken away in order for them to practice privately in order to provide rural health care throughout our state. And in addition to that, also providing life skills courses in our high schools in order to make sure that children knew our youth knows how to balance a checkbook and have those financial needs and understandings going into society today.
Thank you, Mr. Graves. Mr. Justin Tidwell, it goes to you next. If you get elected, your big three priorities.
Top three priorities, and it's going to be a little different than everybody else's. You know, being a representative, you know, most of the emphasis is going to Baton Rouge, doing things in Baton Rouge. But as we're going to Baton Rouge, right here at home, it's falling apart. And I think the number one problem we have right now is drug addiction, which we talked about just a minute ago. Drug addiction is tearing our communities apart. And being in healthcare, I can relate it to causes and symptoms. If you go to the doctor's office, you may have a symptom like a runny nose. But your underlying problem is, you know, have a virus inside your body. Well, the virus would be the drug addiction, and the symptoms where we're losing jobs. And until we fix that virus that we have in our body, we're not going to be able to fix the jobs problem. And also the next problem we have is conservation. We haven't taken care of our conservation. And the third problem is small businesses are taking a hit in our economy.
Thank you, Mr. Tidwell. Mr. Ryan Reed, question goes to you next, sir. Big three priorities for you if you're elected.
We've had the same three priorities since we started. It begins, number one, with taxation. By lowering our taxes, which, by the way, we have the highest sales tax average in the nation, where if you go next door to a state like Texas, they average about 6.6% of sales tax. Meanwhile, ours is well over 10. They have a corporate income tax of 1% versus ours, which is on a sliding scale of 4 to 7%. That affects everything else, from jobs, from the tax dollars that we're able to get in, from people moving to this state. It affects all of that. We need to do something about taxation to provide us with more funding so that we can put it in areas that where we need. One of those definitely is law enforcement. We definitely need to fund our law enforcement officers better. We definitely need to provide them with the tools and opportunities that they need to stop violent crime, which we've led this nation for homicide in the last 30 years. We've also seen better than a 77% spike in human trafficking right here along the I-20 and I-10 corridors over the last 4 years. That is repugnant. On top of that, of course, being an educator, one thing that I want to look at is getting us out of the bottom for our education.
Thank you, sir. The question next goes to Foy Gadberry. Sir, your three priorities, if elected.
Well, being in the engineering and construction business, my number one priority is infrastructure dollars. My number two would be our tax structure, reform our tax structure. And also, number three, which I've indicated before, is our education budgets. In the infrastructure area, I'd like to get with DOTD, look at their budget, look at their qualified products list, reevaluate their chemical makeups of asphalt, et cetera, and see if we can't stretch those dollars a little further than what we're doing right now. There are other states are doing that, and I think we can do that.
Thank you, Mr. Gadberry. Gentlemen, we could stay here all night, but we're not going to do it because last time I got in trouble for going a little long. So I want to tell everyone here we're going to make the candidates available when we get done out in the hallway here. And if you have questions, be sure and seek out your candidate and find out more about where they stand. Also, for the folks from the media who are here tonight, we're going to have them out there for you, and we'll load up our next group. But before we do that, we'll give you a chance to make a final closing statement. You'll have 1 minute, and you can come up to the podium here to do that. We'll begin tonight with Justin Tidwell. Sir, you have 1 minute for a closing statement.
Well, once again, thanks for having me here. I'm not a politician. This is a little strange for me. I, to be honest with you, I hate getting up in front of crowds. It's very out of my comfort zone, but I felt the need in the community to get up here. I've got two little girls. And I feel like if we don't do something to fix our community, that, you know, their future is going to be at stake. I don't want them to grow up in the same environment that I grew up in. And that's why I'm doing this. I'm very successful in the healthcare field. I work with, on the heart team. I also have opened three real estate investment groups that I'm involved in. And I work a lot with low-income families. So I know a lot about the drug addiction and how to fix it. I appreciate you guys having me here and listening to me. Have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Justin Tidwell running in District 15. Up next from District 15 is Ryan Reed. Sir, you have 1 minute for a closing statement.
Thank you all so much for having me here tonight. Look, whether we're talking about law enforcement and trying to stem this pestilence of human trafficking or violent crime that's been affecting us, whether we're talking about educational opportunities, whether we're talking about job opportunities and the opportunities to start families, we are driving our young people out of our state in droves. We've been doing it for years. And if we don't start looking at this with a bit more passion, with a bit more fervor, and a lot less, oh, well, let's kick the can down the road, then things will never improve in this state. I'm going to tell you, I'm probably going to be a one-term politician. Just simply because I'm not going to make money. I'm not going to make friends. I'm not going to pat myself on the back. I'm going to step on toes. And that's what I'm looking to do. I realize that this may be the end of the career for me, but I'm okay with that. As long as it means something for these kids that I live for, that I work for every single day of my life. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Ryan Reed, candidate for Louisiana House District 15. Next up is Mr. Foy Gadberry. Mr. Gadberry, you have 1 minute for a closing statement.
A Again, I'd like to thank the organizations that put this on tonight for our time to talk and give our views. I've lived and served in this community for over 35 years. I've worked on several boards. I've donated thousands and thousands of hours helping this community out. And I want to continue that down in Baton Rouge, helping this community in my state. I want to take my proven business practices to Baton Rouge and implement our goals in North Louisiana and reform our budget. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Foy Gadberry running for District 15. And next up, Drake Graves. Sir, you have 1 minute for a closing statement.
Thank you so much for allowing us this opportunity to speak to you. You know, we can't seek change here in the state if we send the same people back to Baton Rouge. We can't invoke change if we use the same old ideas. We have to have new perspectives, new ideas. We have to use that technology that we have available to us in order to make our government more efficient. In addition to that, you know, we have to look at the reform that's needed here and have somebody that's going to stand up against those lobbyist groups and things like that that's not tied to any organization. You know, I have no reason to be bought, and it's not normal, I guess, for someone to, you know, jump out there. But I'm doing it because I have a heart to serve our community and know the change that's needed, and I'm able to do that for our District 15. And I ask you for your vote on October 12th.
Thank you. That's Drake Graves, candidate for District 15. Once again, I want to remind everyone here with us that we'll hear from the District 16 folks coming up in just a moment. A reminder that Election Day is October 12th. On Election Day, the polls open at 6 a.m. They close at 8 p.m. And if you don't know what you're voting on, we're going to tell you to visit the Go Vote app. And we spell that the Louisiana way, G-E-A-U-X, vote. And you'll find that on the Apple Store or the Android Store. And find out. You'll see a sample ballot there. You can find out more about what's coming up at your election. Once again, I want to thank Foy Gadberry, Drake Graves, Ryan Reed, and Justin Tidwell from Louisiana House District 15. Gentlemen, thank you for being here. We're going to get our District 16 candidates up here right now. And while we're changing those out, I want to introduce us KEDM General Manager Jay Curtis to say a few words.